sometimes Christians live defeated lives, but there's a better way. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome to Finish Well Radio. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. Easter is coming up in a couple weeks. It's my favorite time of the year. So I have asked Pastor Mike Curtis, my favorite pastor in the entire world, to share with us about resurrection power. And so I am just going to turn it over to him. He is going to introduce himself, and he's going to jump right into this amazing topic. I know it will bless you.
Thank you, Meredith. I really appreciate that. I've been looking forward to having an opportunity to be able to speak to both parents and teens. And I want you to picture with me, if you would, traveling down a road, just a close-by road, especially if you're a driver, you've done this before. And I'm just going to encourage you, as you, for me, it would be 1792. And traveling down 1792, there's a lot of stores on the left and the right. And as you're doing that, you just realize that there's some new construction and such, and you're just breezing by. When you get home, you're asked the questions, hey, did you see the new public shopping center or the new Lowe's hardware store that they just finished building? And you're asking, what? And the reality is, when you're driving by all of these stores, you kind of get numb. You've driven by them so many times, that which is new tends to not stick out to you. And I'll be honest with you, I don't pay attention to stuff like that. You have probably heard sermons or talks or read books on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to not do. I don't want you to act like you're driving down 1792 or whatever road is near you, and it's just the same old, left and right, and by the time you get home, you realize, wow, there was something new there that you missed. I want you to see something new tonight. I want us to look at the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and I want you to ask this question, so what? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Many of us, we go through the Christian life, and it feels like the same old, same old. We hear similar sermons. We try hard to read our Bible and pray. And the bottom line is, many of us live lives in which we hear about the resurrection of power of Jesus, but we don't experience it. Tonight, I want to give you some keys to experience that resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that power that enables you to enjoy life, that power that enables you to overcome sin, that power that enables you to speak a word that brings transformation in relationships. And many of us have relationships that God needs to heal. I want you to look in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 24, verse 37. Let me preface it by saying this. When he's in the upper room, he's appearing to the people in the room there, and everybody is wondering who this is, and they think that it's a ghost. And consequently, as he appears to them, he has to comfort them, and he has to speak words of encouragement to them. And this is what he says. The scriptures say, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your minds? He said, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. You know, when Jesus appeared to them, they initially thought that he was a ghost. And he immediately said to them, a ghost does not have flesh and bones. When Jesus rose from the dead, his body was transformed. You couldn't put his hand through him. He could walk around, he could eat, people related, talked with him. And when Jesus rose from the dead, his body was transformed. But here's the cool thing, it was so transformed, that he was able to walk through walls. He was able to go through doors. He was able to suddenly appear from nowhere. His body was very similar. They could touch him. He could eat, but yet it was different. Jesus' resurrection body was completely transformed. Now, when we think about the resurrection, I want us to think about three events, not just the resurrection, but the one that happened just before it, the crucifixion of Jesus. And then, of course, you know, 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And then 49 days later, 7 weeks, the Holy Spirit is poured out. I want you to see that. So when I talk about the resurrection, I want you to think about the cross, the resurrection, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because all of them, if I can put it this way, kind of come together as a package. You see, the cross secured forgiveness for our sins. The resurrection secured victory over our sins. And the power of Pentecost secured power to deal to be able to declare and share this good news about what Christ has done for us. So when I'm talking about the resurrection, realize that it is integrally connected with the cross and with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Okay, so here we have Jesus in his resurrected body. And the disciples are absolutely amazed. And they think that they have seen a ghost, but something has happened to this Jesus that they thought was dead and now has been resurrected. His body has been transformed, and this event forever transforms their lives. The entire book of Acts is all about them declaring this resurrection of Jesus Christ. Their primary purpose is to be witnesses to his resurrection, and that witness transformed the people of their day. Now, the Bible says not only was Jesus' body transformed and it impacted people's body, the Bible says that we too will one day be transformed. In Philippians 3:21, it says, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be like his glorious body. And so that tells me that this resurrection body of Jesus that we've just been talking about, that is very real, that can be felt and touched, that can experience emotion, that can think, process information, communicate with people, and yet go through walls or suddenly appear. This is the same kind of resurrection body that we're going to have. And that means that when we go to heaven, and when I'm talking about heaven, I'm not talking about right now, but later when Christ returns and transforms this world and this universe and creates a new world, a new earth, and a new heavens, when you are on that earth, you will have this very same resurrection body. That is awesome. That is something to look forward to. And I tell you what, especially with me getting older and the aches and pains that I experience, I look forward to that time in which I don't have to deal with that. Now, many of you teens, you don't realize just what age can do to you, but I'm 54, I'm turning 55 here soon. I know what it's like, but I'm looking forward to that time. But you know what? We talked about the resurrection body of Jesus, that one day we're going to have that type of resurrection body, and that we're going to experience what it's going to be like to be totally free from sin, totally free from aches and pains, be able to enjoy forever, with not just in a spirit body, but in a transformed body. But here's our question, and this is what I really want to dig into tonight. And that is, between now and then, what does it mean for us? What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean for us? Paul, when he's talking to the Philippians just a few verses earlier, says this, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to look at that. That talks about the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul wants to know. So between right now and when we receive our resurrection body, Paul says, for himself anyway, he wants to know this resurrection power. He wants to experience. That's what I want you to think about, not just knowing about it. Maybe in too many sermons, it's just same old, because you've been asked to know about that resurrection power, you know, about the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and what that resurrection body was like. What it's going to be like when we receive a similar glorified body, as exciting as that is, what does it mean for us now? So I want you to listen. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ can transform your life, can help you and enable you to live a life that's powerful, that not only transforms you, but it transforms others around you. Let's start by looking at that first thing. Paul, when he is talking about the resurrection power of Jesus, the very first thing that he talks about is knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. How many of you have grown up in a Christian church? You have been to church all of your life. You have gone to church. You have maybe even gone from church to church. And how many of you, in experiencing Christianity, have just gone through your life and you've truly not known what it is to experience the resurrection of Jesus? How many of you have been down that road? And I know what it's like. For me, I went to church all of my life, and I basically kind of went through the motions, but it truly did not transform my life. I could not actually say that I had a relationship with Jesus Christ. I wanted to. I saw that for some people, that Jesus Christ had transformed them, and that's what I wanted. And as I listened to sermons, for me, it was the same old, same old. When I'm talking about knowing Jesus Christ, I'm talking about a relationship with him in which you experience him. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ in which you walk with him, you experience him, you're reading the Bible, you get stuff from it, it's not boring to you. You, as you pray, you get to experience answers to prayer. This is what I mean by knowing Jesus Christ. When I was 14 and I gave my heart to Christ, and I really meant it this time with all of my heart. I'd grown up in the Christian church, but this time I really stepped into a surrendered life to Jesus. And as I had surrendered to him, I began to see that type of transformation. And I began to experience that transformation. I began to live it. And see, this is what it means to know Christ. It's to experience him. It's to walk with him in an intimate relationship. It's to be able to get past just the head knowledge. And so as I was reading my Bible, as I began to experience a prayer life, God began to show me what it was like to really walk with him. And so that's the first part, knowing Jesus. That's Paul's prayer. He wants to know Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to just live a religious life. He wants to live that poured out, surrendered life to Jesus Christ. That's knowing Jesus. That's experiencing Jesus. And so when I come back, I want to share with you just how, by knowing Jesus, we can enter into that resurrection power.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workbooks, like Real Men Talk About Freedom, Girls, Courtship, and Marriage. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their eldest daughter and her fiancé, have brought together material in one concise book, which will guide men from 12 to 112 through the Bible's comments on this important subject. Learn more at www.powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. We exist to serve you. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Thank you very much for listening. I'd like to be able to continue with how we can experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, he said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. We understand what it is to know Christ. But let's realize that to experience the resurrection of Jesus, we have to first know him. We have to have that intimate relationship with him. We have to be willing to live that poured out, surrendered life to him, in which we say, you know what, it's not about me anymore, it's about him. To walk in that power of the resurrection of Jesus, we're going to then need to actually know what this third element is. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Now, he is not saying that he wants to suffer. He's not saying he wants to be persecuted. He says he wants to know the fellowship, that is, the intimacy with Jesus in the midst of his sufferings. That's what the fellowship is all about. So don't get me wrong. He is not saying he wants to suffer. He's not saying that he wants to be persecuted. He wants to have the same mindset and the same heart that Jesus had when he suffered on the cross. And so I just want to ask you, do you remember, maybe through some of the sermons you've listened to or your own Bible reading, what was Jesus' attitude on the cross? How did he respond when the people who were ridiculing him said, if you are the Son of God, then come down off that cross? Jesus, with one word, could have wiped them all out. With one word, he could have come off that cross and he could have put them all to death. He could have avenged them himself. But that's obviously not what the plan of the Father was. Jesus had been down that road and made that decision in the garden where he said, but not my will, your will be done. Jesus went to the cross with his will completely submitted to the Father. And you see, it was right there on that cross. And as he was being tempted by the people to demonstrate his power as the Son of God, the Bible says that he refused to retaliate. Though they insulted him, he did not hurl insults in return. Though he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Though they mocked him, he didn't mock them back. He could have. But the heart of Jesus was one of surrender and submission to the Father. And so as a result, his heart was one of love. You know what he said after they said all of that to him? If you are the Son of God, then come down off that cross. He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. That was the heart of Jesus. So Paul is not wanting to know or not wanting to experience those sufferings. He's wanting to know how to have the heart to go through those sufferings. So that tells us that he knew that by knowing Christ and knowing the power of the resurrection of Jesus, it was absolutely inevitable that he would suffer and be persecuted. Let me just say that one more time. Paul knew that in this prayer of wanting to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, he was going to suffer. And I can't help but wonder if maybe we are not experiencing this resurrection power of Jesus Christ in which we're bold witnesses, in which our relationships that are bad are healed, in which our hearts that have been hurt have been set free, and we're able to forgive, that we're able to live in this power of this resurrection, that when we pray for people, God answers our prayer. People are healed. People are set free. People do come to Christ. See, this is the power of the resurrection. I can't help but wonder that the reason why we're not walking in this power today or each day is because we don't want to suffer. If you can imagine yourself just drawing a line, and on the other side of that line is what awaits us in this whole arena of suffering. For Christ, it was the cross. But Jesus was willing for the joy set before him to endure the cross. Perhaps the reason why we don't enjoy and walk in the power of Jesus' resurrection is because we hold back, because of our fear. We're afraid that when we're bold, if we're radical for Jesus, we're going to stand out and people will see that we are, that we're Jesus freaks, that we're totally committed to him. Have you ever, in a conversation with people who don't know the Lord, ever said, you know what, but the Bible says, maybe you said, but the Bible says Jesus is the only way, truth, and the life. Maybe you said, but Jesus is the only answer. He's the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. Maybe in a conversation with someone who didn't know Jesus or in a group of people, you started talking about how you got saved. How did they respond to that? Many times, people will think that you're over the top. They'll think that you're judging. They think that that what you're sharing with them is not something for them, that's for you. You can keep it to yourself. And they persecute. They speak things that you interpret them as rejection. And this fills us with fear. This causes us to hold back and not open our mouth. We were willing to follow Jesus up to that point of inconvenience. And Paul is saying here, I am willing to follow Jesus. I want to know him, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I am willing, as a result, to suffer for him. Just give me the right heart. Well, let me take you now to Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians 1, Paul, he has a prayer for the Ephesians, and he's praying for their eyes to be the eyes of their heart to be enlightened. And then he says he wants them to know his incomparably great power for us who believe. And he goes on by saying, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, I'm reading from the NIV, and the NIV, unfortunately, inserts this word, like. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. That's actually not in the original Greek language. The verse actually reads, that power, that is that incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That is the resurrection power that God exerted when Jesus was laying dead in the tomb and raised him to life. That power that he exhibited there on that day is the very same power that we have available to us. That resurrection power is ours. That incomparably great power for us who believe. Let me just share a few stories with you about that resurrection power that God gives to each of us. And by the way, it says later in chapter 3, Ephesians 3, he says, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And if you're a teen and you know Jesus, this is that incomparably great power for you. And it is his power that is at work within you. So this power that I'm going to be sharing some examples of, this is that very same resurrection power that raised you from spiritual death to spiritual life. And it is this resurrection power that God wants to display in your life and through your life. I can remember some years back, a friend of mine had graduated from seminary, went to Uganda, and this is about 1990. And while he was on the mission field, he was partnering in evangelism with an older gentleman, and they were praying for the sick. And as they were laying hands on one particular boy, probably about 12 years of age, his dad was right behind him, and his 12-year-old son was sitting with his legs underneath him in a wheelchair. His arms were shriveled to his body. He could not extend his legs. He could not extend his arms. And his body was very contorted, age 12. And the two of these men began praying over him, and the older gentleman was praying with such faith. And when he said, amen, there was nothing that happened. And my friend was relating to me. He said, Mike, it was so funny. He looked up at me, and he shrugged his shoulders like, I don't get it. And then they prayed again, and the 12-year-old boy jumped out of the wheel. He jumped out of the wheelchair, standing on his feet, and God had totally, miraculously healed him by that very same resurrection power that he used when he raised his son Jesus from the dead. That power that's available within us, according to Ephesians 3. And as they were praying, the power of God's Spirit moved through them and healed this 12-year-old boy. I remember just a few years ago when we had started our church, one of the ladies who is still very much a part of our church had been dealing with some bitterness. She came to us and her prayer request was very simply this. Pastor Mike and Mary, could you please pray for me? And her husband was there, pray for us, that we'll be able to conceive. And when we started to pray, I stopped and I asked her, I said, is there something in your heart like bitterness that you need to confess and deal with? And she began to cry and she realized that there was some very deep-seated bitterness towards one person in particular. And I told her, I said, you need to confess this. You need to repent. God says that if any sickly among us, we should come. And if we confess our sins, he will forgive us and he will heal us. And I truly believe that God's word to her was this. You need to confess this sin. Allow him to forgive you and he will heal you. Well, she confessed it and we prayed over her, for her. And in 2 weeks, she got pregnant. She had been trying for quite a while to conceive. And within 2 weeks after confessing that and truly repenting of the bitterness and releasing that person, God not only forgave her, God healed her. And she has two awesome, awesome teenage kids. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or all that we imagine. Now, it's easy probably for a teenager to think, well, you know, these things happen with pastors and really spiritual people. But I did say after I read Ephesians 3 that this is that very same power that lies within you. I don't care what your age is. If you're a believer in Jesus, God can do absolutely amazing, powerful things. And I can remember as a teen when I gave my heart to Christ at age 9, I began praying, God, please help me to be your bold witness. And I prayed that prayer for 2 years and very, very few opportunities. And God was, he was trying to prepare my heart. He was trying to change it. For him to put that type of boldness and faith, I needed to be fully and completely given to him. And I remember asking that his Spirit fill me and really transform me one summer. And the following fall, God began to open opportunities to evangelize. And I don't mean a handful here or there, but every day, sometimes 3 times a day, sharing the gospel with people. I remember one particular person. I would sit down at lunch. I would have a number of tracts. And so honestly, some of them were kind of silly, but they were cartoon type of tracts, gospel tracts. And I would give one of them, kind of be led by the Lord, give one of the tracts to someone I would sit down with and just say, hey, take just a minute if you would read through this and I want to see what you think. And invariably, about 95% of the time, they would read it. And then I would just ask him, what do you think? And God would give me an opportunity to share Christ. God used that to plant a lot of seeds, a lot of seeds. And I believe to this day that even though I may not have seen it with my own eyes, God planted those seeds that eventually gave birth to new life in many of those people's hearts, maybe in college, maybe sometime after college. But I do remember upon graduating one particular gentleman
who had gone to a very liberal church, and but he did attend faithfully. He said, "Mike, thank you so much for your witness to me." 2 years earlier, I had shared the gospel with him, and he had come full circle, and he was a part of what our church was doing. He was an ardent follower of Christ, trying to have regular quiet times, growing. It wasn't just because of me sharing the gospel with him, but it was because others began loving on him. And God's resurrection power had truly changed his life. I remember another gentleman in my 12th grade year, I befriended, and this particular gentleman's name was Alan, and Alan had Tourette's syndrome and would make unusual sounds while we would be walking down the hallway. And in all honesty, it was very embarrassing, at least for him. And he would stop while we were walking down the hall and reel back and give out a shriek. And he had these very unusual tics. I began to reach out to him. I would go over to his house. I would share Christ with him. And he eventually became interested. Again, he was part of a church, but it was a very liberal type of church. And he saw some difference in my life. And as I invited him to some of our church events, he saw that very same difference, that resurrection power in the lives of these other people. We were not super saints. We had a heart for Jesus. We were sold out for him. And we just wanted to live for him. And Alan gave his heart to Christ, and God began to transform Alan's life. He did that by the resurrection power of Jesus. I remember a particular occasion some years later after we had started the church, very shortly after we had started the church, and I'd given just a very simple gospel presentation. An elderly gentleman had been coming for some time, and I said, "Is there anyone here who would like to make that decision and follow Christ?" And he kind of halfway raised his hand. And so I went over to him and I sat next to him. And I said, "How can I pray for you?" And he just looked up at me and tears were in his eyes and he could not speak. And I just said, "Can I pray for your salvation?" And he gave his heart to Jesus Christ that morning. And then before we ended our time of prayer, he asked that I pray for his arthritis. He had severe arthritis. He used to play the guitar, and he'd not been able to pick up the guitar for years and years. He did repairs with his hands, and it was extremely painful for him to do that. And he asked that God would heal him of this arthritis. And so we just prayed over him. There were a couple of people gathered around, laid hands on him. We prayed for him. And God healed his arthritis. He was able to start playing the guitar again. He was able to make those repairs pain-free. You see, we serve a resurrected Jesus who lives in us, and that very same resurrection power that raised him from the dead then lives inside of us. And God eagerly wants to do absolutely amazing things in your life and through your life. And so I am going to invite you to pray big prayers. Pray big prayers. Ephesians 3, again, it says, "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." I don't know about you, but I can have a pretty big imagination, and I like to pray pretty big prayers. But God says he's able to do immeasurably more than everything that you can ask for and that you can even imagine. So I want you to imagine you as his witness, praying for people, praying for marriages to be healed, praying for your salvation for your friends, praying for reconciliation in broken relationships. I want you to imagine yourself praying for people like that and then doing that, praying for those, be asking, "Can I pray for you?" Sharing Christ with them, and let the Spirit of God work through you. This isn't just for pastors or super, super spiritual saints. This is for everyone who believes in Jesus, his incomparably great power for us who believe. I hope that this has been a blessing to you. And I just want to pray for you right now that God would instill in you this passion for Jesus Christ. That's really what believing in Jesus is all about. It is surrender to him, getting our eyes off ourselves, focusing on him, surrendering and giving our hearts, our lives to him. That is the belief that he says that when you have that, his incomparably great power lives in you. Well, Father, I just pray for every single person who's listening right now. I pray for that very same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead to not just be in them, but move in every single person who right now is asking, God, I want to live for you. I want to do great things in your kingdom. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to live totally for you. I want to live on that cutting edge in which I see the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in my life, ministering to others, regardless of my age. And I just ask you, Spirit of God, touch every single person who's crying out for that right now. Let the resurrection power of Jesus move in them and move through them. And God, would you do immeasurably more than all that they are asking for or even imagining, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you and have a happy, happy Easter.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.